I watched the kites diving and snatching among hundreds of small craft, plying about between ships and shore, and the great crew canoes riding the surf, and tried to fan away the stench that rose from all the filth rotting on the oily water. I remember what Kinney had said. O sailor, beware of the bight o' Benin. There's one as comes out for 100 goes in. You could smell the sickness on the wind, and I wondered why Spring, who was scanning the shore with his glass, had put in here. But presently, out comes a big crew canoe, with half a dozen niggers on board, who hailed us, and for the first time I heard that queer coast lingo which passes for a language from Gambia to the Cape.
"Hello, Tommy Rot," cries Spring. "Where's Pedro Blanco?"
"Hello, sir," sings out one of the crews. "He live for Bonnie, no catch 2-3 weeks.
Spring cursed at this. It seemed he'd been hoping to meet one Pedro Blanco at Wider, but the crew boy, Tommy Rot, was telling him instead he should make for a river where a Spaniard named Sanchez would supply him with slaves. Spring didn't like it too much.
"Blanco, bobbery bastard," says Spring. "Me want him make palaver King Gizo one time."
"Palaver sowa sowa," bawls the crew. "Sanchez lib for Gezo, lib for you, all for true."
"He'd better," growls Spring. "All right, Tommy Rot, come aboard."
We took on a dozen of the crew's grinning, lively blacks, who were great favourites among the coast skippers. They were prime seamen, but full of tricks, and went by ridiculous names like Rum Punch, Blunderbuss, Jumping Jack, and Mainsail. Each one had his forehead tattooed blue, and his front teeth filed to points, so they would be recognised as crews, and wouldn't be taken as slaves. The Balliol College stood out from Wider, and after 2 days, we put in again farther east, onto a long, low, rotting coastline of mangrove crawling out into the sea among sunken sandbars. It looked damned unpleasant to me, but Spring brought her through into a lagoon, beyond which lay a great delta of jungle-covered islands, and through these we came to what looked like a river mouth. We inched through the shoals, with everyone hauling and sweating at the sweeps, and then, round the first bend, was a clearing and huge stockades between river and jungle, and presently a fat dago in a striped shirt comes out in a small boat, all smiles, to meet a great storm of abuse from Spring.
"You're Sanchez, are you? And where the hell's my cargo? Your barracoons are empty, you infernal scoundrel! 500 blacks I signed for with that thieving blackguard Pedro Blanco, and devil a black hide in sight apart from your own! Well, sir!"
The dago was full of squealing apologies.
"My dear Captain Spring, within 2 days there will be 1,000 head in the barracoons. Pedro Blanco has taken order. King Gizo himself has come down country, especially on your behalf. He is at Dogba with his people. There has been much fighting, but all quiet now, and many, many negroes in his slave train for you, Captain."
He beamed around greasily.
"You're sure?" says Spring. "And I want to see King Gizo, do you hear?"
Sanchez spread his hand.
"There's no difficulty. He will be coming west from Dogba to Apokoto tomorrow."
"Well," growls Spring, "we'll see. What's he got for us? Sombers?"
"Sombers, Fulani, Aja, Aiza, Yoruba, Igbo, whatever the captain requires."
"Is that so? Well, I'll have 600 then, instead of 5.
End of Disc 1.